If there's a message we need to hear, that's it. Amen? Give us your eyes, Lord. All right, so as we're looking this week, we saw last week how the Apostle Peter is brought around by God and how he comes to the conclusion that God is calling him to save the Gentiles. And so we see this miraculous thing happen. We see the Spirit coming upon the Gentiles, establishing the truth that God has accepted us. You guys aren't excited that he accepted you? He accepted us. See, that's where it started, is with Cornelius. I don't know of anybody in here who's of Jewish descent. So we looked at this, and we see how God has done this wonderful thing, and then we see that the Jewish believers give him a hard time. And I got to tell you guys, I just want to be honest with you. Like, there's nothing more discouraging or frustrating as a minister of God than to be doing what God has called you to do and to have people question you. To have people look and go, well, did you do this? Or did you do that? Or what about this? You know, because we dedicate ourselves, we commit our time to training people, to teaching people, to encouraging people. So when people walk out, it's not because I didn't teach them. It's because something didn't take in their heart. And so it gets really discouraging when you're doing what God calls you to do and people are going and looking at you like, I'm not so sure you're really doing your job. Because that's what it comes across as. That's how it feels when people question if we are doing our best to train people when they come and to teach them before they're baptized and to make sure that they're equipped. And so here's Peter, and God has taken him through this struggle, this battle within his own heart about what is God trying to do. And all of a sudden, here come these people, these believers, saying, I don't think you're supposed to be baptizing uncircumcised people. And so as we continue on, we look at what Peter is going to respond to them. In Acts 11, verses 4 through 18, starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals and animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. The voice spoke from heaven a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and said, and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter, and he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and he had come as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in this, or believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even the Gentiles he has granted repentance that leads to life. Wonderful. So the first thing that I want to point out as we look at Peter's response is that Peter shares his vision. Okay? Now, what I love about the way that Peter approaches this is that he doesn't come at it from a super sanctimonious kind of attitude. He doesn't come at it from a perspective of, well, you're still not mature in your faith, so you don't quite get it yet, but God really did have plans for the Gentiles. He comes at it from a perspective, a clear-cut perspective of, you know what, guys, I got to be honest with you. This is a struggle for me too. When I went through this process, I was looking at things and I'm like, I don't know what God's trying to tell me, because here I am, I have my belief that there's certain things that you do and don't do, certain people you associate with, certain people you don't associate with, and all of a sudden now I'm sitting here and I'm having this vision and God is calling me to do this crazy thing. He's telling me to eat these unclean animals. And so here I am looking at it and going, well, why on earth would God call me to this? This doesn't even make sense. But it's what God called me to. You see, Peter met them where they were. He met them in their reality. He wasn't trying to be above it. He wasn't trying to pretend like he had it all figured out. He simply said, look, you know what? I didn't get it either, guys. I didn't get it either. But the thing is, this is what God is calling me to. And I got to tell you, I found in sharing my faith that when people hear that you struggle too, they're more inclined to listen. There's all kinds of reasons why people don't want to accept God's will in their life, isn't there? I mean, you get people who will tell you, like, I lost a family member. I can't believe in a God who would allow my child to die. I can't believe in a God who would allow this suffering, this pain in my life. And I just can't accept that a good and loving God would do that kind of thing. You have people who walk away from God because they look and they say, you know, I grew up in church, John. I grew up in church. I know church. I've sat in pews my entire life, and God wants me to be perfect, and I can't be perfect, so I'm not going to waste my time. I'm just not going to waste my time. I can't be what God wants me to be, and since he's such an authoritarian, I can't do that. Or you meet people who say things like, I can't deal with the hypocrites. I can't deal with going to church and sitting next to people who are, you know, one way on Sunday and then they're a completely different way when they're living out their lives. And so I can't accept that what God wants me to do is to be a part of church. And so when we look at these things, a lot of times I think people try to, like, excuse those things away. Well, you don't understand God because God is a loving God, so there. No, when I can talk with somebody and say, you know what? When you talk about hurting from losing somebody, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God can give a person is the opportunity to disciple another, to teach them the word, to watch them grow in their faith. And to watch a young man who I mentored, who became as close to Christ as I've seen in a person, a passion for the least of these, caring for those who others dismissed. He became a special ed coach. He taught children sports and cared for children that many disregard and toss out. And just in the blink of an eye, one minute he's talking to the Ventura City Council about putting housing together to put Special Olympics kids up in the city of Ventura. The next, he's sitting in his car and he's dead. He's gone. Had a brain aneurysm and poof, flash, gone. That's pain. I couldn't think straight for a week. I mean, even after that, it still wasn't good. But it didn't change the fact of who God was. It didn't change who he was. See, we live in a broken world. Broken things happen in a broken world. And so we see damage, we see pain, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. See, God didn't promise us there wouldn't be pain. He did. He told us there's going to be pain. What he promised us is, I will be with you. I'll be with you. And so that's the thing, is meeting them there and saying, you know what? I want to walk with you. I want to go through this pain with you because I know what it feels like to hurt. But God loves you enough to hurt with you. Or when they look and have this idea of God as the big judge in the sky with a sledgehammer ready to crush you every time things go wrong. Boy, I tell you, I grew up in that. That's my upbringing. God is just sitting there waiting for you to get up. As soon as you get up, he's happy. Good job, John, you're doing great. But as soon as you fall over, up. Get it together, young man. I'll be over here waiting when you get up. That's how I felt about God growing up. And so being able to say, look, I understand how you feel that way, but let me show you who Jesus really was. Let me show you the way he loved the woman at the well. Let me show you the way that he walked alongside of his apostles, and no matter how thick-headed, no matter how many mistakes they made, he always came back and he always accepted them. When Peter denied him three times, Jesus didn't cast him out. He made him the leader. That this is not who Jesus is, but I can't get you there if I can't start with you there. If I can't say, look, I can understand the struggle that you're going through, I can't share. Or when people want to reject God because of the hypocrites. 15 years old, I'm listening to church leaders' wives talk and gossip about me when they don't realize I'm there. It hurts. It's awful. But you know what? Jesus didn't call me to follow the church leaders or the church leader's wife. He called me to follow him. And he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. You see, the reality is that when we meet people where they are, when we get to their place and say, look, I understand. I get it. I struggle too. I have things that have happened too, but you got to get past that because Jesus is on the other side of your resistance. And this was the same thing for them. Jesus was on the other side of their resistance, their separation, their willingness to push these other people aside. Jesus was on the other side of that, saying, I want all men to come to me. I came that all who would believe would have eternal life. And so Peter has to meet them where they are and to say, I get it. I know what we've been taught. I know where we came from. But we have to move forward because God is calling us to this other place. And so he starts by sharing his vision. The second thing is Peter shares the Spirit's leading. And as I've said before, I just love how the Spirit has a way of just making things clear, that if you're really seeking, if you're really trying to find his will, he'll drop stuff just right in your lap to help you to figure out what's going on. And, you know, to be honest with you, I was thinking about this vision that God gave to Peter. And I was thinking to myself, if I was in that time frame, and if I had been raised up under the old law, and I knew for a fact that to eat any of those animals that were dropped in that curtain would be a sin, that God had directly commanded, do not eat these unclean animals. And Peter starts off with this vision. My mind's going to be racing, going, well, wait a second, Peter, what are you, like, surely this is not of God, right? The vision alone wouldn't have been enough for me because I'd have looked and I'd have been like, isn't this how Eve got herself in trouble? In Genesis 3, verses 4 through 5, you will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So isn't Satan good at just kind of twisting things? Isn't he good at kind of making something that you know you're not supposed to do look like something that is what you should do? And then we look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, and it says, and no wonder. So he's talking about false prophets coming and trying to look like they're believers. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So I'm looking at this, and I'm starting to think to myself, you know, by itself, this vision looks a little sketchy. But the beauty of the way that God works is that He doesn't leave one thing so that you're like, maybe, maybe not, could be, could not be. When the Spirit sends this message, and He tells them, like, look, so I get done with this vision, and next thing I know, there's these guys standing on my door who say, hey, are you Peter? Yeah, I'm Peter. Why? Because we were told you have a message of salvation. Well, how did you find out about me? Where did you get your reference from? Oh, just an angel of God. And Peter, receiving the Spirit, telling them, it's okay. Go along with them. It's fine. This is my plan. And so now it's starting to unfold a little bit. And if I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, this is a little bit more than a coincidence. That somebody randomly decides to come, knock on Peter's door, and say, hey, guess what? An angel of the Lord told me to come get you to preach salvation to my master's house, the house of the uncircumcised. And so now this dream is matching up, and I'm starting to look, and I'm going, okay, you know, wow, maybe there's something to this. And the reality is the same thing is true for us today when it comes to the Spirit. You know, there's nothing as powerful, nothing as amazing as when God puts you in the right place at the right time. He gives you the right scripture. Things just happen. And it's even more awesome when you don't even realize what you're doing. When you're just having a conversation with somebody and they go, whoa. That is exactly what I needed to hear. I have been struggling with this, and then that was it. That was the thing that I needed to hear. That was what was giving me what I needed and where I needed to go. And like I told you guys, you know, when the Lord spoke to me and told me to just live, and I'm thinking to myself, just live. You know, that sounds more like a Nike slogan than something that God's calling me to in life. I'm telling you, that DJ or whoever it was, guest speaker, whoever that made the comment, if God has a message for you today and that message is to live, and I mean really live, I guarantee you that person had no idea that there was a young man with a broken heart trying to figure out God's will for him that day who was being blessed through that, who was being put in a place to be able to come and to be restored, to be made whole. No idea. But that's how the Spirit works in our lives. And so we need to be open to being used by the Spirit. We need to be listening to when the Spirit speaks, because for Peter, I guarantee you, when he went up on that roof that day, he had no idea that God was going to send him to the Gentiles. He had no idea that years from now, from that point, he would be the reason why a group of people sitting in a continent he didn't even know existed were praising the name of Jesus and finding their salvation in him. The Spirit is powerful, and the Spirit affirms what's going on. Don't be afraid to share with people what the Spirit is doing inside of you. If the Spirit has led you somewhere, given you some strength, don't be afraid to share that with people. And finally, Peter shares Jesus' teaching. You see, ultimately, even if the rest of this, if everything else didn't exist, okay, if he hadn't received the vision, if the Spirit hadn't told him to go, if there wasn't this man that showed up or these men that showed up to tell him to go, when it comes to the point where Peter says, and then I remembered the master saying, John baptized with water, I will baptize with the Spirit. And here they are. They've been baptized with the Spirit. At that point, every other conversation is done. Because when it comes to the fact that the word is given, when Jesus says, I've accepted those who are uncircumcised, there's no more room for discussion about are they, aren't they. It's settled. Because Jesus settled it. And he said in John 14, this is Jesus speaking, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The word cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus made it very clear that if you're going to follow him, you got to do what he says. I mean, could you imagine somebody signing up, joining the military, going to boot camp and getting trained, and then walking out onto the battlefield, and their captain says, charge, and they go, what? Oh, I didn't sign up for the military to do what you tell me to do. I'm just kind of here. I like the uniform. Could you imagine? Do you know what would happen to that person? They'd be spending some time in the brig. You don't join the military, and then when the captain tells you to move, you go, we'll see. Here's your duty station. No, I'd prefer Florida. I'll just go there. I'm sure there's military bases there. I'll go there. No. When you join, when you become a part, when you take on someone who becomes your master, becomes your leader, you do what they say, don't you? And so even though this was difficult for them, even though they're looking and their traditions are telling them, no! Not the uncircumcised. They didn't even really like the people who were proselytized, right? You remember we had a problem with the Grecian widows not being able to get the food that they needed? They had already joined Judaism, and they were still having problems with it. So there's this huge rift, but eventually what it came down to is they had to look at it, and they had to say, if Jesus has poured his Spirit out upon them, if he's poured it out, then there's no question. There's no more discussion. It's over. It's done. And it's important for us to have that same realization in our lives. That when God tells us, when his word, when Jesus says something, that is where our lives need to go. That's what we need to follow. See, if what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm believing doesn't match up with what Jesus said, I have to reevaluate my thoughts. I have to reevaluate my actions. I have to think things through. So if I, as a person, and this unfortunately is something that in much of the Christian church in America today has become prevalent. If I have an attitude that I can continue sinning and I can do what I want, Jesus paid the price, hallelujah, going out Friday night, because Jesus paid for my sin. If I have the attitude that I can continue to live in sin, that I can continue to go on doing the things that I did, and then I look at John chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, You might have to skip through a little bit there, Kelly, because I put a little bit more when I initially wrote it. It says, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" So this is the woman caught in adultery. "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go and leave your life of sin." He didn't say, "Then I don't condemn you. Have a nice day. Go continue to do whatever you want." He said, "Go and leave your life of sin." So if my attitude is that I can continue to sin willfully and expect that Jesus is pleased and that I am in a right relationship with him, and he tells me, leave that life of sin, I need to reevaluate. I have to rethink the way that I'm living. If I'm slandering other people, right? And we've talked about this, you know, those uncircumcised. If we are slandering other people, whether that's people who are caught in sin, whether that's our political leaders, whether that's our church leaders, whether whoever, if I am slandering people and feeling justified and saying, well, I've got biblical basis that they are sinners and they are wrong, and I'm going to run them down, I'm going to tear them apart, and I'm going to spit them up and chew them out because I am speaking the truth. And I have that mentality. And then I look at Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, and he says, Jesus speaking again, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So when I look at that and I hear that, well, now all of a sudden I need to reevaluate my thinking. Because God tells me that I am to speak the truth in what? Love. To go to people with gentleness and respect. So when my thinking is, well, I'm just going to tell you how it is, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. Well, Jesus says a little different. And he says you better be careful because you're going to be evaluated based on your words. If I believe that sinful people are my enemy and that I have to isolate myself from them and that I have to treat them differently, that I push them away, if that's my line of thinking, and then I read Matthew 5 verses 44 through 45, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Then maybe I need to reevaluate the things that I am doing, because he doesn't give me room to decide that because someone is caught in sin that I don't love them. And as a matter of fact, he says, pray for them. Devote your energy to caring about them so that they can walk with me in eternity. See, when they became believers, when we became believers and put Christ on in baptism, we accepted his teaching as our way of life. We said, I'm signing up. I believe in who you are. I believe in what you're calling me to, and I am going to walk with you. And so when we are working on correcting issues, we need to be willing to accept that if the Word of God says something, that that's what it is. If God tells me to do it this way, then I need to do it this way. That doesn't mean that if God doesn't tell me to do it this way, I can't do it this way. I want to be clear about that. But when God commands, when he says, this is who you need to be, this is the life you need to lead, we need to let Jesus' teaching be our heart and our focal point. And then the fourth point, hearing the truth presented changed perspective. Isn't it wonderful that when Jesus presents the truth to them, when Peter reveals the vision, the moving of the Spirit, and the scripture to affirm, that they accepted it. Isn't that wonderful? Because I'm afraid sometimes that we as human beings are not very good at this. We have many divisions and rifts in the Lord's church because people are unwilling to look and say, look, this is the word. This is the standard. It is our only standard. And so if he tells me, this is what I want you to do, this is what he wants me to do, and I need to do that. And I need to be obedient to that. See, my prayer is that for us, when we are considering what is God trying to do, that we're considering his word and we're asking ourselves, am I the kind of person who puts God's word first? Is the Bible my standard of life? Is it where I live in every day? Is it what I feed off of every day? And am I seeking God's will in my life? See, when confronted with objections based on the tradition of man, Peter met the objectors where they were, admitting his frailty. He shared with them how the Spirit moved and established everything by the teachings of Christ. And through this, the church was able to move forward towards God's will to save all mankind. That was it. He wanted everyone to be united and united in Christ. I want that to be true of us too. Do you want that to be true? That there are no divisions among us, that we are not a people who are looking to separate ourselves, but a people who are willing to go into the world and share the gospel message. And are we willing to be the kind of people who say, just because we have a tradition doesn't mean that that is the way it's always got to be? That if the Word of God or if the Spirit is calling us and saying, you guys need to be moving this direction. There's a whole world out there, and I need you to reach the young people. I need you to reach this generation that is being lied to and told that God does not exist. Being told that morality is whatever you decide it is, whatever's best for you. There's a whole generation in our country that is lost and confused because our society is teaching that there is no need for God, that there's no value to faith. So if we have to change, if we have to do something different, maybe we have to play some different music. Maybe I have to preach a little differently. Maybe we have to use multimedia. Maybe we have to do things to engage the world around us. And maybe that makes us uncomfortable. I'm used to tradition. I'm used to the hymns. I'm used to the way things were when I was growing up. But God calls us to adapt because there are people who need to be met where they are. Are we that kind of people? I want you to think about that and to consider that while we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you for the fact that that you gave Peter the wisdom to address things in such a way that all those who believed in you were able to hear it and embrace it. Lord, I thank you that through his handling of this situation, we can see that we need to meet people where they are. That we need to have a heart to draw people closer to you by admitting that we have frailties too. We see pain. We see struggle. We understand that traditions and things make things hard for us to be willing to change. But Lord, I pray that just like Peter teaching them and just like the church responded, that our hearts will be that to say, you know what? God, if you're calling us to move in a different direction, if you're calling us to do things differently, that we're willing, that we take to heart the words of the Apostle Paul, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some.
that we will be a people who are focused on the future of your kingdom, that are seeking to draw people close to you. Lord, when you speak, you say that you came to save all mankind. Give us your heart. Give us a heart that reaches, that focuses, that considers where people are and that seeks to meet them where they are. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.